My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Swallow it, you know, and eat it.
It's a Friday WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, how are we feeling?
Well, I was good to that drop. I don't even know what the hell that's supposed to imply.
Swallow it, you know, and eat it.
Yeah. Spike, Jackie Baseball, 48 hours removed, doesn't feel much better. Holla at your boy.
122 days until pitchers and catchers. And what he's simply saying there is that they were ready to take a whole bite out of the apple. You know, out of after last year, they got only a little bit of the apple. Turns out, it was a sour apple. Bad apple.
The irony of wanting to eat the entire apple and getting eliminated by a team from New York.
Yes.
The big apple. Maybe the apple too big for Rob and the rest of the team. We have a big show, as always. Elliot Shore Parks joining us at 3. Nick Costos, 2:42 or so to give us his picks. We have Jaws at 4 o'clock. I'm sure Tornado Shapiro will call in. Tommy from down the shore. Oh, it's great. You know, I was hoping today, after the Phillies lost on Wednesday, I said to you, you know, we'll do the eulogy on Thursday, and then we will turn the page to the Eagles on Friday. And here we are, it's Friday, and I am not ready to turn the page. I'm not there yet. And I don't think any of us are really there yet with the end of the Phillies season.
Well, first of all,
what?
I don't think anybody's in a rush to turn the page to the Eagles.
To the Eagles,
right now.
Yes. That's a really good point.
Yes.
If they were
4-0, then maybe we would rush and turn the page to the Eagles.
Yes, it would be much easier if that were the case.
Yeah, we're a light 2-2 right now.
Very light 2-2.
As the Eagles. But to your point, I agree. The ending of this season, the weight of the disappointment and the failure, it has not subsided yet.
No.
And it nor should it.
No.
Nor should it, because this wasn't some Johnny come lately, jump on the bandwagon when they start winning, out of nowhere type of season. You know, this has been building for 3 years since they miraculously made the playoffs in 2022 and went on the run that they went on. What I mean by this has been building, I mean the expectation from this fan base and what we wanted as an end result. It has gotten to that level, and rightfully so. It's one of the top five payrolls in all of baseball. You got stars aplenty. You got Cy Young Award candidates. You got MVP caliber players on the team. Like, the expectation is justified. And when you have a disappointment like we've had, losing to the New York Mets in 4 games after winning the division with so much on the line, with the owner basically putting out there from day one of spring training that I want my trophy back, bring me back my trophy. Like, that has been there. That the expectation has been there. And again, justifiably so. So it does not surprise me, even though I may have thought we would sort of roll into the Eagles weekend and sort of try to cover up or suppress our depression from the Phillies with the Eagles. And it's not happening.
No,
and nor should it happen.
I'm glad. Yes. I'm glad here's where we are, because this was something that Elliot had made fun of Jack for a lot, just saying that the Phillies are treated like children almost.
Yeah.
That it's great when they do well.
Like, it's a cute story,
yes.
Yeah.
It's great when they do well, but when they don't do well, we'll just talk about the Eagles or whatever. And that's not where we are, and I think that's a good thing. The fact that the Phillies are important, we consider them, we have expectations of them.
Legitimate championship expectations.
Yeah, this is great. I agree.
Yeah.
Legitimate championship expectations.
Well, so you said something during the show yesterday that triggered, we talked about a lot yesterday. We talked about Dombrowski, we talked about Middleton, we talked about Rob Thompson, we talked about all the players. But it was during one of our conversations, something stuck with me through the night. And last night when I went home, and then I woke up and thought about it this morning, and it had to do with everyone getting along and the culture of the clubhouse. And I think there's a lot to be done with the Philadelphia Phillies, for sure. I don't think Rob Thompson is a bad manager, and I don't think what he did this year caused the Phillies specifically to underachieve. But I do think they need to move on from Rob Thompson. I do think they need a change there. And that speaks to the culture thing. Now, this is the part of the conversation I'm thinking of, is when we talked about the fact that they all get along all year long, we have talked about that as a good culture, that the Phillies have a good culture because they're not sniping behind each other's backs, because they all get along, because it is a fun clubhouse to be in. But that doesn't mean that the culture is good when it talks about being conducive to winning. They need a culture that is conducive to winning. And they allowed, whether it was the players who wanted it, whether it was Bryce who wanted it, whether it was Dombrowski who wanted it, they allowed the players to police themselves, the players to run the clubhouse, to when something goes wrong, that we will be sure that they will find it. And that's what Rob Thompson did, right? That was what he was instructed to do. That's the kind of manager he is. And you know what? They didn't do it. They didn't hold each other accountable. They didn't realize when it was slipping away. And there were several opportunities during the year to get it back. Right? Since the end of May, beginning of June, this team has been on cruise control. Here are the opportunities. They lose 18-3 in the last game of the first half into the All-Star break. There is an opportunity to wake up and say, hey, guys, we need to find this again. When the division got close again, out of nowhere, and it shouldn't have been, when the Braves were on their heels, when the Mets were on their heels, that was another opportunity to get it back, to wake up, to say that what we are doing is not good enough. And the players didn't do it, and Rob Thompson didn't do it. Then the final week of the year, Ike, they have an opportunity to get the number one seed in the National League for what everyone thinks is the best home field advantage in baseball. Forgetting about how much you think it actually matters, it was an opportunity to get them to ramp up and wake up, and nobody took it. And then they got clobbered and embarrassed by the Mets. And here's what we heard after the game. We heard from Nick Castellanos that the pressure may have been too much. We heard from JT Realmuto that it's hard to play well all season long. We heard from Alec Boehm, who has no doubt that he'll be back, even though he had a terrible last 6 weeks, got benched, and was a baby the entire time. They do not hold each other accountable. There is not a culture of accountability. Doesn't mean they're not good people, doesn't mean they don't get along with each other, but something they before they change players, which, by the way, will require players to want to come here or other teams to want to trade for you. We'll worry about that in 2 months when they can. The move that they can make right now is to move on from Rob Thompson and get a manager in there who is going to help set the culture. I think Bryce is a great player. I think the other players probably look up at him, but he is not the kind of leader who says, not here, not in this clubhouse. Kyle Schwarber's a good leader, right? Mm-hmm. He can work with the younger players, but he is not, it doesn't appear to me, to be a guy who says, not here, not in this clubhouse. Nick Castellanos isn't that guy. JT Realmuto isn't that guy. So what we have is a bunch of players that get along, but we also have players who accept going up there and having weak at bats when we know we need to grind out at bats. We have a culture that allows Alec Bohm to mope for weeks, and it gets so bad that the manager has to bench him. And after a bench, he gets benched. He's throwing temper tantrum with the umpire in game 7-2.
Well, it was a bad call.
It was a bad call for sure. But I mean, just like,
I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, so I don't think Rob Thompson's a bad manager. I don't think it's on him, but I do think the change starts with that position. And I think they need to move on from Rob Thompson.
Yeah, it's man. Yeah, it sucks. It really does. I think most people like Rob Thompson as a manager. I don't think he does anything to make you not like him as a manager, right? Do you agree with every decision that's made, how he handles the clubhouse all the time? It's worked out for him and this club from a putting yourself in position to be successful standpoint. But you do, I don't know how you evaluate what you have moving forward and you try to figure out what's going to be different next year. If we do the status quo and come back with the majority of the players, with the exception of maybe a minor tweak here or a minor tweak there, and the same manager, then how do we expect different results next year? Like, I all of a sudden, Rob Thompson is going to start managing about a different approach at the plate, and the players are going to buy into it. I don't know if that. I don't believe that's going to happen.
It reminds me.
I don't believe that's going to happen.
You know what situation you'll have? You'll have exactly what we have with the Eagles with Nick Sirianni. The Eagles had an opportunity to move on. They chose not to. And almost the worst case scenario is happening now, in that the season is iffy and nobody feels like they did a half measure. And they can't fire him now, right? In the middle of the year. And at the end of the year, it seems likely to me that unless something really changes, they're going to have to make that decision. And what I don't want is exactly what you're saying. We get a minor change in the lineup. We're 35 days into the season. The Phillies are 16-14, right? And we're like, wait a minute. Everything's the same. And the final thing I'll say is that I do think it sends a message to Bryce Harper, that because I think the way that the clubhouse is partially because that's how he wants it to be. Mm. But that is not winning us a World Series. And I think it sends a message.
It gets you a good team.
Yes.
A cohesive culture, but that's fine for them. What we want is a team that has the intangibles to get you over the top, that has the winning things that will actually win you big games and get that World Series trophy. See, that's where the Phillies find themselves. This is no longer the cute story about the team that overachieved. Now they're underachieving. Yes, you put yourself in a position of winning 95 games and a division for the first time in 13 years as an underachievement. I've been a part of those teams, winning the 5 straight years in the NFC East. Yeah, that sounded great in 99 and 2000 when we won the NFC East. But then that became no longer good enough. Home field advantage. Yeah, that was great until it didn't matter. Getting to the NFC title game. Yeah, that was great until it didn't matter when we lost 3 straight. Like, you're a victim of your own success. And we're not going to apologize for having high expectations. We're not, and we're not going to accept mediocre results, substandard results. And the owner shouldn't accept that. So how do you change what has gone on and expect something different. I really do like Rob Thompson. I think he's a good dude. I think he's a good manager. But something isn't working. Something isn't working. And we can't talk ourselves into, I like this player, I like that guy, I like the manager. Pretty soon we like everybody and nobody leaves.
And we do. That's part of why we like the team.
Yes.
Is because we like everyone. Yeah. But it's part of the problem there is that they just like each other.
No, yes. You're right. They're too comfortable.
They have to be uncomfortable. I appreciate and respect everything that Bryce did. He's probably, and you know what? I hope in his heart he knows this ain't.
Well, it's legacy that's on the line, so he should be where we are.
It's about more,
quite frankly.
It's about more than players that put numbers in the stats. It's about more than having players that you're comfortable with. Now it's about winning.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. Do you think the Phillies should move on from Rob Thompson? Jack, what are you feeling over there?
Well, let me be clear. I think Rob Thompson's a good manager.
Yep.
And I wouldn't be moving on from Rob Thompson because I think his moves don't work. I think he's a smart baseball man. But I just think that is run its course. And I think that we saw this team not respond to it anymore. And after the game, having to hear about, or after game three, about how resilient they are, and then they essentially folded in game four, like, eventually you see the message falling on deaf ears. And what I don't want this to turn into, I'm not sure if either one of you mentioned it, is the Nick Sirianni thing.
Yeah, I mentioned.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, it just reminds me so much of the Nick Sirianni thing, where it's the you bring him back, you're kind of in a similar spot. Now, 16 and 14, we might be saying right where we need him to be.
Yes, for sure. But you know what I mean.
So yeah. I just think that I think they need a new voice in there, and I'm not sure how much they can shake up the core. Like, I want them to shake up the core, but I don't know who they can realistically move and say we're a better team today. Yep. And it's the only move you can really make to wake those guys up. And they got him fired more than he got himself fired.
Yes,
I agree.
I would agree with that. They let him down. Yes.
And you know what? They should feel that.
You're exactly right. They should feel that. They like him.
Yes.
They love him as a manager. You failed him.
Yes. This is on you.
Yes.
This is on you. No,
I totally agree.
So now we're going to put this in a position to change. You had an opportunity to fix it yourself.
Yep.
You didn't fix it yourself. So now somebody else is going to come in here and fix it. 215-592-9494. Albert in Villanova, you're on WIP.
Hey, everybody. What's up?
Hey, Albert.
What's up, Albert?
The issue with you can't fire Rob Thompson because he's not the issue. The players are soft and undisciplined. You get in another manager here, they're still going to be soft and undisciplined.
Who?
Let's not forget how bad they performed under Joe Girardi. He's that old school, get on the players, you know what, and they were worse under him.
Well, hold on real quick.
Yep.
Yeah, he was harder on them, and they proved how soft they were because they didn't respond to his harsh coaching or managing. And then they brought Rob in, okay, and then maybe this is the most he can get out of these guys. Maybe they've already peaked.
Well, no manager is going to push them.
Albert, what do you do then?
You got to get someone in there who's not soft.
Like you mean a player?
A player.
So one player.
Just bring in one player.
Multiple players.
See, well, how?
I don't know.
How, right?
Dave Dombrowski's job.
Well, yeah, I know, but...
No, but we're saying that's harder to do.
It's hard. When you have the players that are movable are generally insignificant right here, right?
Yes.
Bohm would be the one significant one, but everybody else is a coin flip. And if you're saying that the problem is that it is a roster full of undisciplined players, you have a better chance of making them disciplined than turning over your entire roster. The sort of roster turnover you're talking about comes with 5 years of losing. It does. Because my guess would be that the only players that you're locked in on, you're like, I want him here, are Bryce, Zach Wheeler, Chris Sanchez, Aaron Nola, right? Maybe a couple of the relievers.
Maybe Schwarber.
Maybe Schwarber. But that's not enough. Like, that's not how it works. And the only other thing I'll say, Albert, is that there are ways to get better without improving the numbers of the guys that you have there. Look at what the Mets did. The Mets traded Verlander. The Mets traded Scherzer. The Mets went into the year with Pete Alonso on a deal that was expiring, the last year of his deal. They went into a season with a bunch of with a new manager and players who maybe weren't as talented.
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Is that not a new manager in New York?
It is. Thank you for the call, Albert. It is a new manager in New York. And they've shown the resiliency, that Mets team, that we haven't shown here. There are numerous times. So the Mets, what people know about the Mets surface level is the Mets had a bad 2 months and then they had a good 3 months. Mm-hmm. But that's not the whole story. There were multiple times within those bad 3 months that the Mets lost three in a row or it looked like it was right. over or fell out of the playoff race.
Down the stretch, they messed around and fell into a battle with Atlanta to try to get in.
To get in. And don't even forget that. Think about this. The last week of their season, they were put in the worst situation possible. They had the games against the rival who they needed to beat to get into the playoffs moved to an extra day where they had to travel three different times to the same place.
All on the road, too, by the way.
All on the road. Yeah. All on the road and win the game on the road to make the playoffs. And then the same thing. By the way, the Milwaukee Brewers won game two. And the Mets were on the ropes. On the road. The amount that sort of culture can change the players who you may already have is, and again, he said, Albert said, he wasn't what was wrong. And I agree. Mm-hmm. But it was something that Mike Lombardi said yesterday. You have to start identifying where the problem is and address it and stop trying to fix things by layering things on top of it. That's what the Eagles did. That's what Lombardi said, right? Instead of the Eagles making wholesale changes, they said, we'll get a new coordinator here, a new coordinator there. We'll get this defensive end instead of that defensive end, blah, 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 blah. And you come here and it all kind of feels weird and the same.
Well, and also, just in this day and age in baseball, it's very rare that you see managers last a long time places. Like Dave Roberts, I think, is an atrocity with the Dodgers. But for some reason, he's been there.
They won't fire him.
Which I don't understand.
And by the way, they might disappoint again this year.
Which they probably will.
Yeah.
Mike Shildt, first-year manager. First year for them. He was the Cardinals manager. But like the Mets, you just mentioned them. Like I think the window of managers is more like 3 or 4 years.
It's almost like hockey.
Yeah, it's a quick turnover, I think, of managers rather than they're there for 10, like Joe Torre or Charlie or these guys.
Right.
So I just think that it's so quick with the messaging and how it's being delivered more than like football, where we know a great football coach can change a lot of things.
Yeah. Yep.
A manager can only do so much, but part of what they can do is how they talk to their team, and it just looks like it's gotten flat.
Well, and the specific thing that he is supposed to be good at with this team is specific. It isn't, we don't think of him as a creative, you know, lineup guy, or he's making changes, or he's, you know, like Tony La Russa was. He's not. We think of him as he is the guy who is going to allow that team to set the culture. And the culture this year failed. It failed. And yes, it's on the players in that they wanted to set it, but they didn't. So we have to do it a different way. And they have to know that if they don't do it, they're going to cost somebody else their job and eventually cost them their job.
That's two on their hands, by the way. Girardi was first.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Coming up next, on you. Should they move on from Rob Thompson? 215-592-9494. And coming up in about 20 minutes, we know you like getting your bet set for the weekend. We know it. What are you laughing at in there?
Well, I just remembered. I forgot about Casas again.
Yeah,
so
of course.
We're locked in.
Can you set your phone alarm in there?
I got the access up for him.
Nick Costos will. And by the way, I know he's going to come in here, Costos, and I'm ready for this because he's a New Yorker and the Yankees. He's a Yankee fan. The Yankees won. I know he's going to be peacocking on the air about his pick with the Mets beating the Phillies, but we'll get into that too. So that's coming up next as well. 215-592-9494. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care, All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Mike, Spike, and Fritz. Jack, I don't think of you as a Pearl Jam's man.
Oh, I got through some Pearl Jam phases.
Ah, okay.
Might be in the middle of one right now.
Ah, a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
That's why I'm wearing plaid today.
That's your grunge, your nod to grunge?
Yeah, you know me, Jackie Grunge.
The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers, the official jeweler of you. If you're looking to get engaged, shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with rings for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. Do you want the Phillies to fire Rob Thompson is the Twitter question, Ike. Yes or no? What do you think the results in the Twitter poll are? Do you want the Phillies to fire Rob Thompson?
This is an interesting one because I think most people like Rob Thompson and don't think he deserves to be fired or really want him to be fired. So this is going to be closer to a 50-50, I believe. I'm going to go, 57% say don't fire Rob Thompson.
70% say don't fire Rob Thompson.
Wow, 70. Wow, yeah. More than I thought.
Which does show how angry they are at the players.
Yes, where the anger should be.
I think we're all sort of in the same boat as to that it lies on them. This wasn't a Rob Thompson decision that caused them to lose. Absolutely. And by the way, Rob Thompson is speaking. The Phillies have announced he is doing his end-of-year press conference, as so is Dave Dombrowski.
Yes.
Tuesday at 11?
Yes.
Are they scheduled to do it at the same time?
I believe so.
I believe so.
Okay. All right.
Which is also an indication that they probably will not fire Rob Thompson.
Either that or they want to give 5 days to think about it and then just have Dave Dombrowski talk.
Well, if that's the case, then I mean, you wouldn't send him out there.
Yeah, I think what they do at this point, and I don't have any information, Jack, I don't know if you do, but if you just say he's speaking on Tuesday, it quiets everything down for a couple of days
at
and maybe lets
Tuesday.
You think.
Yeah.
And then you're not doing the we're going to evaluate thing that the Eagles did with Nick Sirianni, basically indicating to everyone that they thought about firing him. So if they keep him, it puts them in a little bit of a safer position.
Well, wasn't that a report today?
What?
That they were evaluating the coaches, including Rob Thompson?
Bob Nightingale said that yesterday, right?
And today.
Oh, and today. Yeah. Okay.
So he says that is... That is from a source that they want out. They want that out there to know that Rob Thompson is also being evaluated.
Probably.
Who reported it today?
It was Nightingale again.
Nightingale again. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's reasonably sourced, I would say, Bob Nightingale.
Yeah.
All those guys are hit and miss, but I don't think I think when they miss, they were told something that was wrong, but not that they were completely talking out of
now,
their
they did wait a week. They did wait a week to fire Gabe. Gabe was a full week. Now, and it also reminds me, they did. Doug did talk at the end of the year, and then 3 days later, he was gone. So,
do you think now? Do you think?
But I don't think they at that point had intended to fire Doug.
I know. I'm just saying.
But well, I mean, when they ask you about making certain changes to your staff, and you choose not to,
you know,
I just. Part of me says that they want that out there to at least have us
think that they're thinking about it.
That they're thinking about it, yes.
Do you think maybe they took a week to fire Gabe because nobody wanted to talk to Gabe and they were just trying to push it off on each other?
And did Gabe do a end of the season presser?
I don't believe so, no.
See? That's different.
Yeah, well, we will see. I think it's the right move, though I don't think it's his fault. So 215-592-9494. Michael in South Philly, you're on WIP.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing?
What's up, Mike?
Not much. You know, I like listening to your show, but sometimes you guys can just get on my damn nerve.
Mm.
A question like firing Rom Thompson, for what he's done in the last 3 years, it's obtuse. I mean, it shouldn't even be asked. This guy came in 2022, took us to the World Series, then took us to the NLCS, and then, we didn't have the hopes and dreams that we wanted to this year when we went to the NLDS and we lost, but it wasn't his fault. Okay, you can blame the outfield issues. You can blame the defensive issues. You can blame the bullpen. You can blame the pitching. But at the top of the blame list is the lineup that didn't hit. You can't. If you put another manager in this position, what's he going to do? He's going to jumpstart all of the issues that we're having.
So what are you going to do? So what are you going to do?
I don't have the answer to that.
Well,
I
mean,
you just don't want Rob fired. You don't know how to fix it, but you want the manager here.
He's not accountable.
Yeah, but he is accountable. He is accountable. You know why? Here, Michael, let me say this, and then you can make your point. So we have a program director here. We have a boss here. Rod Lakin is our boss. If Rod...
Noted liar.
If he says to us, if he treats this show, if we say, you know what, Rod, we've got it here. We don't need your coaching. We don't need your assistance. Let us do it on our own. And he says, you know what? You guys are professionals. You got it. And we fail, then it's still his decision to have left us on our own. And he will also face the consequences of that decision. And the issue here is that the lineup that you want to blame, I agree. But two things. You can't get rid of the lineup. And the second thing is, I refuse to believe that the lineup isn't capable. I think a lot of what went wrong with the lineup was attitudinal and was a choice. And they made the wrong choice. And if you're going to have a manager that is going to let them do that, then you need a new voice. So they are aware that what they've done is not acceptable because they treated 3.5 months of the baseball season like a championship was a foregone conclusion. That's how they treated it, and they couldn't get it back because that's not how it works. So I guess my question to you is, and I know you say it's not your job, I understand, but we have to deal in reality. And if we want something different next year, we have to try something somewhere.
Bring in an outfield that could hit.
Okay, how? Who?
Juan Soto.
Okay, so that's one player. And Juan Soto, by the way, you're going to have to outbid the New York Yankees and the New York Mets. So let's say you don't outbid the Yankees. Let's say the Yankees tell Juan Soto, whatever anybody else offers you, we're going to pay you $1 more. So here we are. By the way, the Phillies made a very competitive offer to Yamamoto, and he didn't want to come here, so he didn't come here. So then you're stuck. Okay, they didn't sign Juan Soto. Okay, they tried their best. They didn't sign Juan Soto. And then we are marching back into the season with the exact same lineup and the exact same manager. And, by the way, I know there's no salary cap, but there is reality. There is fiscal reality. We are not in Los Angeles. We're not in New York. So when John Middleton spends like New York teams do, that means this team's going to lose money, and we're going to go into a season leveraged on a team that for 3 straight years proved to you that when the chips were down and they needed to adjust, they couldn't do it.
Yeah, but throwing in a new manager isn't going to fix all these issues.
How do you know that, though, Michael? How do you know that?
I do not know that.
Well, let's see. Hold on. The Mets were terrible last year. They brought in a new manager.
He's taken us to three consecutive playoff
games. I understand that. No. We're not talking about what he's done. I'm talking about the idea that you've already decided you can't bring in anybody to change this team. Like, why have you already decided there's no manager out there that could change this team?
Well, you had Girardi.
Oh,
and then you
God.
Had him. They were two different types of coaches.
Can I tell you, Joe Girardi had given up. Joe Girardi didn't care about the Phillies. Joe Girardi showed up here for a paycheck. Joe Girardi had no desire to be manager of the Phillies. Truthfully, they overpaid him. They overpaid him. And he
Let me ask you this, Mike. Instead of doing all of that, what is it that you like about Rob Thompson so much that you feel like we can't go on without him?
I'm not saying that he hasn't made flawed decisions.
No, I'm just asking for a strength. The things that you love about him as a manager that you feel like that's going to help us win next year.
I like his mentality. I like the way that he approaches the game. I like some of the decisions that he's made. I like most of his decisions. Some of his decisions I question, but I do that with all managers that we've had in the past.
So what mentality and what approach – How would you describe his mentality and approach?
He's got a lot of egos on this team.
Yep.
Okay, he's got Schwarber. He's got Harper. He's got Turner. He's got, in the top five of the lineup, he's got almost $1 billion that he has to deal with.
Do you think he got the most out of them?
And his way of dealing with them is pretty much let them figure it out.
I don't know that. I can't say that for sure. I don't know that's his mentality. Can you say that for sure, that he's saying let them coach themselves?
Here's what I can tell you. By his track record and his unwillingness or how long it takes him to make any type of decisions moving anybody in that lineup, he will let you figure it out yourself. He has trust in his guys, and that's a trait and a quality that the players love about him, is that he allows them to figure it out. No matter if it takes them 2 months to figure it out, he will stick with them. He will stick with them. And what I'm saying is, and what Spike is saying here to a degree, maybe that has run its course. Like, maybe they need something different.
I disagree.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I guess you can feel that way.
Yeah.
But I guess the issue is,
I'm just at wits' end. I need another voice.
Yes. Because we think they're talented enough.
Yeah.
Talent is not the issue, right? I mean, you could say we need a more consistent bat in center or left field. Absolutely. But outside of that, where is there a talent deficiency? There's not a talent deficiency at first base. There's not a talent deficiency at third base. There's not a talent deficiency at shortstop. Well, there isn't one in right field.
And the conversation heading into the playoffs was, this is the most well-rounded roster in the league.
Yes.
Yes.
I like what you said earlier about the players should be the ones looking themselves in the mirror. They let Rob Thompson down.
Yes, and you can't do anything to them.
Yeah.
You can't.
Players that let Rob Thompson. He didn't fail them. They failed him.
They did. And it's going to cost him his job, but that's how it goes sometimes. Chris in Barrington, you're on WIP.
Yo, 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 what's up, guys?
What's up, Chris?
First time on the show, man. My wife said something to me right before I got on. She's like, hey, Chris, has every city got a sports radio talk show that talks about the losing teams all the time? That just puts things into perspective, but it's kind of true.
Yeah. Well, if they'd win, we would talk about them. they did it. Their fault.
Yeah. Snake bitten culture here in Philly. Ike, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Do athletes talk about handling the pressure here when they come here to Philly?
I think.
No, seriously, behind closed doors.
I think somewhat, maybe. I mean, listen, I played 20 years ago, man. What athletes talk about today and what they focus on today is completely different than us as athletes 20 years ago when we didn't have to deal with social media and all the other stuff that goes on. Like, I think players are actually under more pressure now than we were back then.
And Chris, I'll say this: I'm not Ike. I didn't play in a professional locker room, but I can tell you from, I would say, an informed perspective, and I can't tell you for sure in baseball, but I can tell you in other sports, It's a factor. Yeah. It's a factor about whether players decide to come here.
Yeah.
That for a lot of players, we can be a harder sell than other cities are.
Yeah, I can buy that. Yep.
I agree, and I think a player that's absolutely regretting that he came here, and I'm regretting that they signed him, is Trey Turner.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, he might be. Yeah, he might be.
His disposition is awful. The lack thereof of emotion, his melancholy attitude, he clearly regrets signing that contract. And it's just a joke because the guy doesn't even act like he wants to be here anymore. It's really sad. And I don't know how contracts work, gentlemen. I'm going to be honest with you. But, like, I know he's got a no-trade clause. Can that be modified at all, or can he opt into a trade?
Oh, yeah.
Anyone with a no-trade clause.
Yeah, no-trade clause just means you can't send me to a terrible team.
Or a team I don't want to go to.
Yeah, a team I don't want to go to, basically, yes.
Well, to get back what you can get if you trade him, it's actually significantly more if you trade Boehm.
Can I tell you, Chris, trading Trey Turner, good luck. Because he's still got 8 years and $240 million on the books. He's a shortstop who can't play shortstop. Go ahead, Jack. Jack. I thought you were going to say something.
No, I'm arguing with Costas about Hurts.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. Yeah, I think Chris, thank you for the call. I think there is a possibility that Trey Turner is like, I don't know about this place. But I also think
he was saying that last year.
Yes, and I
before Jack came along,
Jack had nothing to do with that standing ovation. Just watch the
don't ever
documentary.
Say had anything to do with it.
Yep, nothing to do with it. Yeah. I hate how you keep blaming Jack for the standing ovation.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that really did take a turn.
Yeah.
Now if he's hitting 330 next year, we're back.
Well, Trey has become...
Dude, he's been 313 in the playoffs, by the way.
Trey has become truly...
So mad.
Trey has truly become the Tobias Harris of the Phillies in that it's a big contract. For a good player.
He's better than Tobias Harris.
Yes, but it's a good player who isn't quite what you had hoped he was.
Yep.
And they have him for probably the declining years of his career. He's 30 years old. He's 31 years old. You may never see the Trey Turner from 40 years ago. So any team, if you were to trade Trey Turner, you're either paying most of the money, in which case you have the same problem, you know, because the money is part of the problem, or you're sending prospects. And I don't think he's such a negative that you got to attach prospects. Okay. Joining us now, host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Remember, Insider Call is presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Listen to You Better Your Bet wherever you get your podcast. Costos, how are we feeling?
It's like the greatest week in New York sports in quite some time, man. Feel anything happen for you guys this week? I'm feeling pretty good. Got more money in my bank account. It's great.
Well, what about all the money that you told us you were going to bet on the Phillies getting to the World Series?
Well, you know, there's lots of bets that are placed over the year. Some win and some lose.
Okay.
And my Phillies bets are all, trust me, if it had been Phillies Royals World Series, I would have considered retiring. Some exact matchups I placed back in like June. But yeah, had the Mets in the series. I didn't think it was going to be that easy for them. I mean, it's pretty bad, guys. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty bad. By the way,
his hole.
Do you think the Yankees are fraudulent, or do you think
yes.
they're real? Okay,
yes.
You think they're fraudulent.
I mean, but they're going to win the American League. Like,
yes,
they're going to win the pennants.
Sure.
They're not going to win the World Series.
Okay.
Whoa.
No, listen.
What if they play the Mets?
I think they'll lose.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Honestly, and as a sports fan, like, you guys will appreciate this, I think. So, like, my late father... When I think about the 2000 Subway Series, we're a Yankee family, right?
Mm-hmm.
My dad would have to, during the Yankees won the series 4-1, would have to leave the house to go walk around the block because he was so nervous about losing to the frickin' Mets. Like, that is worst-case scenario for Yankee fans. Because
yep.
if the Yankees play the Mets in the World Series and they win, oh, you're expected to win, look at all the money, whatever. And if we lose, literally, we'll never hear the end of it. I think we're getting a Subway Series, and I don't know how, and I want the Yankees to win. I want to be wrong. The Yankees have no starting pitching, and Garrett Cole feels like a roll of the dice. You either get the greatest pitcher of all time or the worst pitcher of all time. Like, he's either Sonny Gray or he's Nolan Ryan. It's one of the two. And you never know what you're going to get with Garrett Cole. Last night, he was great. Game one, he was brutal. But anyone want to trust Carlos Rodon in a big spot?
Yep.
Luis Gil? Clark Schmidt? I mean, God almighty. Like, whoever wins the NL is going to beat the Yankees, and I'm going to want to walk into traffic. So I'm going to try and make some money on my fan misery when that happens.
I kind of like Luis Gil. You don't like Luis Gil? I like Luis Gil.
I like Luis Gil, but I mean, do I want Luis Gil starting, like, game two of the World Series against here's, Michael King from the San Diego Padres, former Yankee? Like,
come on, man.
Really.
Pedro started game two for us. It wasn't that bad.
Pedro was, like, 60.
And it was that bad.
And it was bad. It was terrible, man.
All right, Costos. On to football.
He was only our daddy with the Red Sox.
Yes.
That's true.
That's the truth. So, by the way, he might be a good closer one day. All right. Eagles are 9.5-point favorites on Sunday. Some would say nobody in Vegas has seen the Eagles play this year. That would be one theory on it. Do you like either side of that game?
Yeah, so I'm going to bet the Browns plus the points. I'd like to get 10. My thought is, once it's officially announced that Devontae, AJ, and Lane Johnson are all like 100% in, and like that gets baked in a little bit, I think we may see a 10. But even if we don't get there, I'm going to bet the Browns. So, Spike, I like the way you phrased that, right? Like, has anyone seen the Eagles play to be a 9.5-point favorite? You could just as easily say that the betting market actually has no idea how bad the Cleveland Browns are, and that this is the ultimate dead team walking, like Deshaun Watson zombified, like season 9 of The Walking Dead with this Cleveland Browns team. Might be the worst team in the league as long as he's the starting quarterback. Now, you know, usually we do, it's a bad sports betting content, like the stock market analogy, buy low and sell high. I'll buy low on the Cleveland Browns here with the expectation that their head coach is awesome, your head coach is miserable, is terrible, he's absolutely the worst, and I will make this bet with the acknowledgement that if we're going to do the stock analogy here, that I might be betting on Enron. And that this might be the like, as bad as it gets, and the Eagles kill them in the game.
Right.
But Kevin Stefanski, back against the wall, no one believes, even with the terrible quarterback going up against that head coach on the other side. And I love me some Jalen Hurts, and I'm arguing, Jack's telling me he's an average quarterback. Like, grow up, Jack. The guy almost won a Super Bowl for you. He does turn the ball over too much. I'll take the points with the Cleveland Browns on Sunday.
Real quick, because we don't have time for it, tell me one thing that Jalen Hurts does that is not average.
I don't know, like win a million games, go to the playoffs every year.
That's not a skill.
3-10 in his last 13 games.
Okay, do you think Jalen Hurts is bad?
I think he is average to sub-average.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
Look, Nick, a quarterback's job
is to throw the ball toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes in the biggest game.
2 years ago.
And Foles outdid Brady.
Yeah.
Well, he's above average, too.
And Foles was good.
He didn't start one season for the Eagles. What are you talking about?
I mean, what do you mean? He got the 27 touchdown, 2 interception season for the Eagles. Jack.
He got benched in Jacksonville.
What are you talking about? He had a 27 touchdown, 2 interception season.
What?
You're like, it never happened. So what?
So what? He's still
27 touchdowns, 2 picks. So what?
I'm with you, Nick. I'm with you.
Oh my God. Of course you're with me. It's not even a question.
Moved on from Nick Foles. What are you talking about?
Jack's like actually like making stuff up.
I'm not making stuff up.
Jack, you're saying right now that the sky is red and grass is blue. Sorry, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Foles is great. He's great.
I didn't say he's great. I just said he's way above average.
Okay.
So is Jalen.
All right.
So is Jalen. Man.
All right. I want 3 of your best picks for Sunday for the NFL weekend.
All right. Sunday morning in London, Jaguars and the Bears. Give me the Jaguars to win the game. They're getting bet like that right now. This was 2.5 a couple days ago. Now it's Jaguars plus 1. I agree with this move. Caleb Williams has had some success recently. I think he's going to be great, but he has had success against teams that cannot rush the passer and that they can run the ball on. Jaguars defensive line is stout. Trevor Lawrence had a get right spot last weekend against the Colts. I think the Jaguars will beat the Bears coming up this weekend. Jacksonville plus 100. Jacksonville just to win the game. Let's go to the Commies and the Ravens in Baltimore. I've been betting on Washington the last couple weeks, and I think, like, quote-unquote, like, sharp bettors have been going against the Commanders. They're doing it again, and I look to profit off of their misery again, and I'll bet Washington. Just the expectation that, you know, this offense for Washington is so good that I don't think they should be as close to a 7-point dog against anyone right now. If they're going to be able to score this many points, I'll take the points with the Commanders. 7 is the number that I would like for Washington. And let's go to Monday Night Football, guys. Here's what I know. Well, I'll tell you something I don't know, then I'll tell you something I do know. I don't know if Jets interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich is any good. But what I do know is that he can't be worse than Robert Saleh. And I know that Todd Downing's a bad offensive coordinator. We saw it in Tennessee. But I know that he's better than Nathaniel Hackett. Jets upgraded head coach. They upgraded an offensive coordinator. And the Bills' offense has been solved. They don't have any receiver that can create separation other than Khalil Shakir, who has not practiced yet this week. They're in big trouble offensively. Give me the Jets to win the game on Monday night on what will be a glorious sports day in the great state and city of New York, with the Jets and the Bills, the Yankees in the ALCS, and the New York Mets in the NLCS.
New Jersey. And yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. And finally, we'd love your props. Give us your best prop.
Okay, best prop for this weekend. How about AJ Brown over 70.5 receiving yards?
Oh, that's a lock.
Yeah, it's honestly like this is one of those where like the bet doesn't have to win. It's 70.5 right now. By the time we get to Sunday, it's going to go up like 5 yards. Like, I'm just telling you, like, it's like the line is terrible. I like A.J. Brown over 70.5 receiving yards, and I like that bet a lot coming up on Sunday.
All right, Kostos. Well, good luck to your Yankees, and also go to hell.
Well, if they lose to the Mets, already there.
Right, yes, that is the truth. It's like losing to your little brother and pick up basketball in the driveway.
It's worse than that.
Yep.
I promise you.
Never hear it.
Never hear the end of it.
Yep, all right,
no
Nick.
Upside.
There he is. Nick Kostos, host of You Better You Bet. He is our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Remember, all insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. And you can get Kostos' show, You Better You Bet, which is enjoyable every day, 3 hours of it. You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts, including the Odyssey app. I've been waiting for this. Coming up next is, Jack has a lot of Philly/Eagles foils in the city. Remember, there's Jay in West Philly. There was it Don in North Philly called yesterday, OG Wade. But Elliot might be the one that gets under Jack's skin the most.
We'll see if he can do it.
So coming up next.
We'll see if he can do it.
Oh, I think he can.
We'll see.
And you got to keep that mic open, buddy.
I have pretty thick skin right now.
Okay. All right. So Elliot joins us next. We'll get Elliot's opinion on Rob Thompson. Maybe ask him about Bryce Harper. And what the hell happened with Devin White? Gonna ask Elliot that as well. That's all next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.